Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Neurolearning, by Peter Hollins, is a practical guide that translates well-known findings from cognitive science into everyday study behaviors. Positioned within the Learning How to Learn series, it focuses on how the brain encodes, organizes, and retrieves information, then turns those mechanisms into concrete strategies for students, professionals, and self-learners. The book frames learning as a set of trainable skills rather than a fixed talent, emphasizing that comprehension and retention improve when you work with attention limits, memory constraints, and the need for repeated retrieval over time. Rather than relying on motivational slogans, it highlights methods that reduce cognitive overload, encourage deeper processing, and help you break intimidating material into manageable pieces. Readers can expect clear explanations of why common habits like rereading or last-minute cramming often feel productive yet underperform, along with alternatives designed to build durable knowledge. Overall, it aims to help you synthesize information faster, understand it more accurately, and remember it longer. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the brain learns, attention, working memory, and cognitive load. A central theme is that learning success is constrained less by intelligence and more by the bottlenecks of attention and working memory. The book emphasizes that you cannot process unlimited new material at once, so study sessions must be designed to respect cognitive load. When too many unfamiliar elements are introduced together, comprehension drops and the brain defaults to shallow pattern matching. In contrast, learning improves when you segment information, reduce distractions, and choose a single target skill or concept per focused interval. This topic also highlights why multitasking undermines retention, switching tasks repeatedly, taxes working memory, and creates fragile, context-dependent learning. Hollins presents the idea that productive study is often about removing friction, such as simplifying the environment, setting clear goals for a session, and using deliberate breaks to sustain attention. The takeaway is a framework for diagnosing why material feels confusing. Confusion is not always a sign of inability, but often a sign that the information density is too high for the current mental workspace. By managing cognitive load through pacing, chunking, and sequencing, learners can convert overwhelming complexity into a series of solvable steps. Secondly, encoding for comprehension, building meaning instead of collecting facts. Another important topic is the difference between recognizing information and truly understanding it. The book argues that comprehension emerges from building mental models, connecting new ideas to what you already know, and repeatedly explaining concepts in your own words. Instead of treating studying as copying and highlighting, it pushes toward active encoding strategies, such as elaboration, questioning, and creating examples. When you can state why something is true, when it applies, and how it relates to neighboring ideas, you are forming a structure the brain can later retrieve. Hollins also points to the value of synthesis, combining notes from multiple sources, reconciling contradictions, and compressing a topic into a coherent summary. This process forces prioritization and reveals gaps that passive review hides. The discussion encourages learners to translate abstract material into concrete representations like diagrams, checklists, workflows, and cause-effect chains. The practical impact is that comprehension becomes measurable. If you can teach the idea, apply it to a new scenario, and explain the reasoning, you have moved beyond memorization into flexible understanding that transfers across contexts. Thirdly, retention and recall. Why retrieval practice beats rereading? The book stresses that long-term retention is built through retrieval, not exposure. Many learners reread notes or watch the same explanations repeatedly, mistaking familiarity for mastery. Hollins highlights that the brain strengthens memory when it must actively pull information out, especially with time delays that introduce desirable difficulty. Techniques aligned with this principle include self-testing, practice questions, flashcards used properly, and attempting recall before checking notes. This topic also addresses spacing and interleaving as practical scheduling tools. Studying smaller amounts across multiple sessions generally outperforms mass practice because each return forces reconstruction and reactivation of the memory trace. Mixing related topics can feel harder but can improve discrimination and application, which matters in real-world problem-solving. The emphasis is not on grinding more hours, but on choosing methods that create durable retrieval routes. The goal is to make recall automatic under pressure, whether that pressure is an exam, a presentation, or an on-the-job decision. By using retrieval as the main engine of review, learners can shorten study time while improving accuracy and confidence. Fourthly, breaking down complex subjects with chunking and scaffolding. Complex subjects often feel impossible because they contain nested skills and hidden prerequisites. A key topic is how to dismantle complexity through chunking and scaffolding. Chunking involves grouping smaller elements into meaningful units that can be processed as one, like turning many steps into a single routine. Scaffolding involves sequencing those chunks, so each new layer builds on stable foundations, rather than piling advanced material on weak basics. The book encourages learners to identify the smallest testable subskills, practice them in isolation, and then recombine them into larger tasks. It also underscores the usefulness of worked examples early on, followed by gradual removal of support as competence increases. This mirrors how coaches train, demonstrate, guide, and then require independent performance. Hollins also treats confusion as a signal to step backward and locate the missing prerequisite, not as a verdict on ability. By mapping a subject into a hierarchy of concepts and procedures, learners gain a plan for what to study next and how to measure progress. This approach makes difficult domains, like technical fields, languages, or dense theory, far more approachable and less emotionally draining. Lastly, creating a sustainable learning system, habits, feedback loops, and environment, beyond individual techniques, the book frames learning as a system that depends on consistency, feedback, and an environment that supports focus. This topic highlights how small routines, such as regular study windows, quick pre-session planning, and end-of-session reviews, compound over weeks. Hollins emphasizes that learning improves when you close feedback loops, you attempt recall, check results, diagnose errors, and adjust the next session accordingly. This turns studying into an iterative process rather than a one-shot event. The book also points to managing motivation through clarity and momentum. When goals are specific and progress is visible, it is easier to persist through difficulty. Environment design plays a role too, reducing distractions, keeping materials ready, and separating deep work from low-effort tasks. The system perspective matters because many people know effective methods but fail to apply them under real-life constraints. By building routines that are realistic, measurable, and repeatable, learners reduce reliance on willpower. The outcome is not just higher performance, but less stress, better time control, and a stronger sense of competence across any subject they choose to pursue. In conclusion, neurolearning is well suited for students who want better grades, professionals who must absorb dense information quickly, and self-directed learners tackling technical or unfamiliar subjects. It is also a strong fit for anyone who has tried conventional advice like rereading, highlighting, or marathon cramming, and felt that the effort did not translate into lasting recall. The main benefit to a reader's life is efficiency with durability. You learn in ways that stick, which reduces repeated rework, anxiety before tests or meetings, and the frustration of forgetting what you studied last week. By emphasizing cognitive load management, active encoding, and retrieval-based review, the book helps you create a repeatable approach you can apply to courses, certifications, language learning, or career development. Compared with similar learning books, its value is in focusing on actionable principles tied to how memory and comprehension function, then translating them into a coherent learning workflow. Rather than offering a single hack, it encourages building a personalized system that can scale with the difficulty of the material. For readers seeking practical, science-informed study improvements without unnecessary complexity, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Peter Hollins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.